From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his sixth message in this study of the Book of Romans. We live in an age when there is much confusion about the gospel. Considering the eternal implications for immortal souls, it's imperative that men and women have a clear and accurate understanding of the gospel. We must be clear about the fact that all that God has to say to mankind, He says in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, the gospel concerns the incarnation and humiliation of Christ. In order to be the Savior of sinners, the eternal Son of God had to become a man so that He could die as the sinless substitute for lost souls. Then the gospel is concerned with the resurrection of Christ, for it is that glorious reality that validates what Jesus did on the cross. The fact of Christ's resurrection has been the subject of virulent attacks by so-called liberal scholars, but it is the very truth that is the foundation of the Christian faith. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called The Person and Work of Christ, the Very Substance of the Gospel of Saving Grace. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, As the Life, So the Fruit. The text is 2 Peter 1 and verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we desire to glorify our Lord by fruitfulness, we must have certain things within us. For nothing can come out of us which is not first of all within us. We must begin with faith, which is the groundwork of all the virtues, and then diligently add to it virtue, knowledge, temperance, and patience. With these we must have godliness and brotherly love. All these put together will most assuredly cause us to produce, as our life fruit, the clusters of usefulness, and we shall not be mere idle knowers, but real doers of the word. These holy things must not only be in us, but abound, or we shall be barren. Fruit is the overflow of life, and we must be full before we can flow over. We have noticed men of considerable parts and opportunities who have never succeeded in doing real good in the conversion of souls. And after close observation, we have concluded that they lacked certain graces which are absolutely essential to fruit-bearing. For real usefulness, graces are better than gifts. As the man is, so is his work. If we would do better, we must be better. Let the text be a gentle hint to unfruitful professors, and to myself also.
My heart will bear the faithless prayers.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Lying apostates, these devil's broods that have got into the pulpits of erstwhile Christian churches, that every Easter trot out the filth of their unbelief and tell us that Jesus died, and they go into all the extraordinary little theories that they have about His showing us what it is to love, what it is to suffer, what it is to do this. He's an example in all these ways. But they can never get beyond the absolute lunacy of a German liberal by the name of Schleiermacher, who said that it was a half-dead man who crawled out of the tomb. I have more respect for the devil than for Schleiermacher and his evil brood. More respect for the devil himself. Let me tell you, my friend, it was no half-dead man who crawled out of the tomb. If that were the case, he died as a fool. And we believe in him as fools. And we will be damned as fools. Bless God. It was a dead man who was placed in the tomb. And on the third day, he didn't crawl out. He didn't creep out. He didn't sneak out. They didn't open the entrance, roll away the stone to let him out. They rolled away the stone to let men see him, that up from the grave he arose. He arose. And our faith is not in vain. And our Savior is Christ the Lord. And our salvation is secure. Bless God tonight. The resurrection is the mighty Gibraltar rock of certainty upon which we can take our stand. In Romans 4:25, Paul says, "He was delivered because of our offenses." That's the story of the cross. "But he was raised again because of our justification." And that is the glory of his resurrection. And that's why the apostles constantly preached the resurrection. Do you ever notice that when you're reading the book of Acts? When the apostles preached, they went straight to the resurrection. They preached the resurrection. They never missed a chance to preach the resurrection. How did we ever reach the stage in our Christian churches where everything else gets a hearing? Preachers will preach about depression. They'll preach about finances. They'll preach about morals. They preach about family problems. Now, all these things may be important. They are. But they preach about all these things. And you could be in some churches from one year's end to the next, and you'd never hear that Christ is risen from the dead. Bless God. This is the very, very heart of the message. He was delivered, but he rose again the third day. Now that resurrection proves his deity. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The word "declared" is basically the same word as we noted in verse 1 when Paul said he was separated unto the gospel. It's just a little prefix difference. It's basically the same verb. It means marked off. It means that the limits of something have been set. The resurrection marks Christ off as truly God. It sets the limits for our thoughts about Christ. You cannot view the resurrection without thinking of its testimony to Christ. This proves he is the very Son of God. Some people translate the text and understand that he was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. In other words, the "with power" goes with the declaring, that the resurrection gives a full and a powerful demonstration of his deity. Personally, I prefer, I think in these cases where the Holy Ghost leaves it open, where it makes equal sense one way or the other, he may well mean us to see that both do make sense and give them their full value. But I think the "with power" certainly must go with the words "the Son of God," as we'll see in a moment. But nonetheless, the resurrection provides the most glorious proof that he is God. We were dealing with this morning. He said, "Destroy this temple. Destroy this temple." Now, he wasn't commanding them to do it. This is a way of using the imperative in a sort of a conditional way. If you do destroy this temple, as you will, I will raise it up the third day. Remember, that was an answer to a challenge. Give us a sign of who you are. Give us a sign of your messianic person, mission, and authority. And he said, "This is the sign. You destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I raise it up again." And he did. The most incontrovertible proof that Jesus Christ is God. Now, when I dealt with verse 1, I noted that the word "separated" gives us the English word "horizon." What is a horizon? It's a line where heaven appears to meet earth. Metaphorically, it's a line that draws the limit of our mental perception of something, our horizons. I don't run away and say that I said the meaning of this verb is to horizon in the sense that we mean it. But our meaning came from this. There is a delimitation, there's a setting of limits. And I think that the English word certainly gives us a glorious application here. Because when you look at him who was declared to be the Son of God with power, that is where heaven meets earth. That's not an appearance. It's a reality. That is where heaven meets earth. And that's the boundary line of our consideration of Christ. I cannot think of Christ apart from his resurrection and its proof. He is the Son of God. Now in the text, this is all because of the resurrection. Actually, the word resurrection of the dead here, and I think it is more strictly the resurrection of the dead than from the dead. The importance of that may come out in a moment or two. But it's very interesting because it's literally the resurrection of the dead ones, plural. That led some people to think that it was saying the fact that Christ raised people like Lazarus from the dead, and the fact that when he died, the graves were opened, and at his resurrection, a whole host of the saints came forth. It's because of that. That's what proved him to be the Son of God with power. But no, it's speaking of his resurrection. Acts 26, verse 23 uses the very same little phrase. And Paul says that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, or the dead ones. Exactly the same phrase. And he's speaking of the resurrection of Christ. There's a grammatical reason for that that we'll not bother you with tonight. Christ's resurrection. But I wonder, why does the Holy Ghost choose this word? Why does he choose this turn of phrase? Why does he speak of the resurrection of dead people when he's referring to only one person? I don't think I'm going far wrong when I say that in the resurrection of Christ you have the resurrection of all his people. Guaranteed. Jesus said, John 14, verse 19, because I live, ye shall live also. And that resurrection of Christ is the perfect promise that we will rise as well. The resurrection, according to this text, commences the exalted state of Christ. He's declared to be the Son of God with power. I've said that the word declared means to mark off or set the limits off. It also means to ordain or to appoint. In Acts 10:42, Christ was ordained, we're told, or appointed. In Acts 17:31, he's ordained to be the judge of the earth. And there are many people who can't see why we don't have that word translated here. Ordained or appointed. Well, let me point this out. He was not appointed the Son of God by the resurrection. He was the Son of God eternally. But this is where the with power comes in. He was appointed, I put all this together, Son of God with power. Paul dealt with something very similar in Acts 2, or should I say Peter in Acts 2 verse 36, when he said, God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. But of course he was Lord and Christ way before. This was speaking of his investiture as such. And so our text is saying that here at the resurrection, you have the investiture of Christ with the power that belonged to his exalted state, in contrast to the weakness that belonged to his life on earth. Now, take his life. How did he come into the world? He came as a babe. This is an amazing sight. This is God manifested in the flesh of a newborn babe. He who created all this mighty universe. He who, even at that very moment, as the Son of God, was upholding all things by the word of his power, lay as a helpless babe in the arms of a woman. He lived as a man. He was weary with his journey. And then he died in weakness. Died in weakness. But now He's risen and he's exalted. And now he is the Son of God, yes, still manifested in the flesh, yes, but now he's the Son of God manifested in the flesh, but the Son of God with power. That's what started the resurrection. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13, verses 3 and 4, and he says, Christ speaking in me, to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth. He liveth by the power of God. What a statement. Therefore, Paul could say in Romans 8, 34, he is even at the right hand of God. Now, the New Testament is a whole lot of passages that I would love to take time with tonight. Only you'd be here a long time. Maybe you think you've been here a long time already, but I can't read the clock. I would certainly recommend you learn the great prayer of Paul for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1. And he has three things that he wants them to know from God. He wants God to teach them. That ye may know what, and what. The three whats. And better not start them, otherwise you will be here. But the third one, what? He's talking now about the exceeding greatness of God's power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And raised him up and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and every name that's named. And he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. There is Christ risen by the power of his resurrection to the right hand of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.